Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you this time for the latest installment of Second Helping, the show of choice for fans and followers of the number one league in all of collegiate athletics, the Southeastern Conference. As always, joined by my great friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Beard, longtime college football analyst, most recently for First Coast News down in Jacksonville, Florida. Brent's also got an interesting gig in that he's a Heisman Trophy voter. So what does that ballot look like right now? What talk about that some, Brent, but we've got rivalry weekend. We've got a spot in the SEC championship game up for grabs. And look, even more so than that, last week we thought there could be four, maybe five SEC teams in this college football playoff. Now, could it be that there's only three, Brent?
Well, it is up for grabs still. Georgia is 7, Tennessee is 8. Alabama is 13, Ole Miss 14, South Carolina 15, and then you've got A&M at 20. So the analytics are telling us that if you're in the top 25, that there's still a chance something could happen. But to your point, we've got this weekend and championship weekend to go. So nothing's settled yet. And Trev, I can tell you the powers to be love that. They love the chaos because people are tuning in, right?
Absolutely. The more the merrier where those eyeballs and ears are concerned. And you know, we talked about it at about this point last week. There's a reason why we went heavy on those three road games for those college football playoff hopefuls in the SEC last week. They went 0-3 in those games. And now, you know, they're hoping for some chaos from some other folks that might help get them back into the mix. Alabama with an Iron Bowl date with rival Auburn and Tuscaloosa this weekend. We've got a doubleheader on Friday, Brent. And then we've got a full slate on Saturday, especially it seems like in that noon window. That's loaded up, but also in prime time. So wall to wall from about 3:30 on Friday through really midnight Eastern. You're going to be SEC'd up this week, Brent.
Well, and what people may not realize yet is the Egg Bowl is Friday at 3:30 Eastern, and the Georgia Tech game, which is really unusual, is Friday night. Yeah. So hopefully we'll have two competitive games to go along with it. Trev, I miss that Egg Bowl on Thanksgiving night, you know, but
I do miss it on Thanksgiving night, but we're getting a good NFL game. We've got, I think, the Dolphins at the Packers.
Yes.
Thanksgiving night. So maybe we get a snow game.
Probably.
As well. Absolutely. That could help offset not having that Egg Bowl. And look, with Mississippi State this year, I think the less viewership, the better, although they're going to be in a standalone game anyway, which we're going to talk about now to get our weekend slate and our preview underway. It is Mississippi State looking for the first SEC win of the Jeff Lebby era, Brent, as it travels to Oxford to take on a limping Ole Miss team, both literally and figuratively. I think health-wise, you wonder about this Ole Miss team in some critical spots. And then the psyche after just leaving everything out there in Gainesville last Saturday.
I think the psyche is as important as anything. As I mentioned to you, getting a text from a friend with Ole Miss media saying that it was a soul-crushing loss, and they are still trying to get over that. I still think they've certainly got enough in order to beat Mississippi State. My big question is going to be, Trav, is can Trey Harris go at all after re-injuring his groin? Just some struggles being able to run the ball, being emotionally ready. And unfortunately for Mississippi State, just to camp here for a minute, is this is basically the last time we will see them this year. And playing, Jeff Lebby's had a tough year. Still think he's got his quarterback, Michael Van Buren. But, you know, Trav, this is just one of those things to where after the unfortunate death, frankly, of Mike Leach, they're still trying to pick up the pieces. on that, and just a lot to do for Mississippi State as they probably will be ending the season on a down note.
Yeah, devastating on multiple levels was the really sudden passing of Mike Leach. And so you got to think, Jeff Lebby, after the one-year debacle, too, of Zach Arnett, to follow yes. that up, it has a probation feel to it.
Yes, it does.
And then you add Texas and Oklahoma after all that to the SEC. So been a lumpy year for Jeff Lebby. Michael Van Buren, been one of the bright spots, the freshman quarterback. You just hope to build on that in a positive manner. And I don't think this game will be a blowout. I just don't. Yeah. I think Ole Miss is favored by 27, 28, something like that. I don't know if Ole Miss is going to be up to that in terms of its headspace collectively. Sure. So I think Ole Miss wins the game pretty comfortably. It might be something like Ole Miss's win over Oklahoma a few weeks back in Oxford. I think that was like a 28, 26, 14 type of game. I could see that for the Egg Bowl on Friday afternoon. Again, that is 3:30 on Friday. That game goes on ABC. As a part of that Friday doubleheader, Brent, you also have Friday night in Sanford Stadium. The Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets head to Athens to take on suddenly thriving Georgia now, an SEC game, championship game spot secured. Georgia Tech, in terms of matchups, I kind of go both ways with this. I think Georgia Tech and its physical sort of approach helps against a team like Georgia. I mean, that's where it's got to start.
Yeah.
But also, Georgia's very comfortable in that kind of game, too, probably even more so, and Georgia has the better roster.
Well, and Trav, first of all, let's not tell Kirby this game doesn't mean anything. As people look ahead to the SEC championship game the week after that, he knows how big this game is going to be. And look, I give Brent Key a lot of credit. I mean, what a job that he has done with this Tech team. Anytime you beat, I know they're undermanned and having a difficult season, but beating Florida State and then beating Miami, and I could see them, particularly if Haynes King can play a little bit. The Philo kid has been a wonder to be able to see in some ways.
Hero last week against
really was. State. Oh yeah, absolutely, and obviously Georgia with the easy win over UMass, but this will be certainly a tune up for them. But old fashioned hate, as they like to say. But I'm glad to see some of these teams like Tech could kind of pick themselves up, that they are rebuilding at this point. And I'll make this point now is, and you and I have talked about this for years. One of the things that we see in these rivalry games is, and it's hard to explain sometimes, but the underdog is really, maybe for the first time in months, is focused and motivated and probably healthy and ready to play, Trav. And I think that people ask all the time, well, why are these games so close when these teams have played so poorly the whole year? Now, Tech hadn't played poorly, but the point is still in vogue here that I think Tech can give them a real run for their money. They don't have the same roster, but it's going to be fascinating to see how focused and motivated they are.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia Tech should be freed up. I mean, 7-win team, you know where you're at in terms of bowl eligibility and where you're at probably in the pecking order of all that. The last Georgia Tech coach to beat Georgia, though, was my guy, Paul Johnson.
Yeah, that's right.
Paul Johnson in that triple option. He got Kirby in Kirby's first year in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was 2016. I don't think it's going to be a similar type of result for the Yellow Jackets this time. There's so much on the line for Georgia in terms of the college football playoff, although with the SEC championship game also in its back pocket, it controls its own destiny,
no doubt,
from the CFP perspective as well. Let's get into Saturday. Louisville at Kentucky, another one of those SEC-ACC matchups on rivalry weekend. There'll be one or two of those that, again, could be impactful where the college football playoff is concerned. This is not one of them. And for Kentucky, this is basically the bowl game.
Yes.
Louisville under Jeff Brohm, second year coach, doing pretty good job, I'd say, there at Louisville, previously at Purdue. Kentucky with a surprise on the road last year, and now in a position of perhaps needing to surprise Louisville even as the home team in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. This would be a big win for Kentucky if they could get it. And one thing you and I talked about the other day, Trav, this has got to be Cutter Bowley, a quarterback, and another game for him. We appreciate certainly what Brock Vandergriff has done, but unfortunately it hasn't worked, and it will be interesting to see how this goes. Your point earlier in the week was a really good one. Brock at this point would be a good backup, and it's not that Kentucky's devoid of talent. I mean, Berrion Brown's a big-time player. Jamon Dumas Johnson on the defensive side of the ball has had a decent year himself. I think Louisville has got the better roster top to bottom in this situation. But again, always, and this is one of those games that can be very surprising year in, year out. But don't you think this is a real indication for Bowley to step up and to give them maybe a glimpse of the future?
Yeah, both these teams want a different kind of game, right? Brohm and Louisville, they'd love to get it into the 30s.
Absolutely.
Kentucky, kind of the basketball comp would be the team that walks it up the court, five passes before a shot, kind of like the Hickory and Hoosiers and that type of deal. But, yeah, I mean, you remember Ja'Cory Brooks?
Oh, yes.
Played at Alabama.
Yes.
He's a 1,000-yard receiver now at Louisville. Over 1,000 yards receiving this year for the Cards. So I'd say that move worked out pretty well for him.
It really did.
We've said it throughout the week. Give us Bowley at this point. Brock Vandergriff, he'll always have Ole Miss, right?
Yes.
I mean, that was a hell of a win for Kentucky in retrospect. That's going to be the win, I think, because I think Louisville gets it done on the road Saturday at Kroger Field. Also in that noon window, suddenly a massive matchup. How about a top 15 matchup between South Carolina and Clemson? Might have to go back to those Spurrier Dabo days to find something along these lines. In South Carolina, you kind of look at this matchup and you think, well, South Carolina could do Alabama a solid here.
Yeah.
You know, and the SEC is solid. Go ahead and get Clemson out of there. But South Carolina's probably thinking, hey, if enough things happen and we win Saturday, who knows where we may end up in this whole thing.
Absolutely. Well, to Travis's point, on the with the review of the college football playoff rankings, certainly the ESPN people and other analysts have said that there is a clear opportunity for possibility of a three-loss team, South Carolina, Ole Miss, and Alabama. Alabama's ranked the highest of the three, of getting involved in this. So there are all kinds of possibilities for both these two teams. The Lenore Sellers continues to kind of grow up in front of our eyes at this point. And look, we at the beginning of the year, if we were talking about this game, we would have said all that probably needed to be said about that Clemson front seven with Peter Woods in that group. But Trav, I'm telling you, Kyle Kennard and Dylan Stewart and that Gamecock front seven, frankly, at this point have grown and matured into one of the best defenses and front seven we've seen in the league.
Yeah, it's going to be fun if you like sort of line of scrimmage games, because both these teams like to run the football too. I mean, Phil Maffa for Clemson's a 1,000-yard rusher. Rocket Sanders is over 800 yards, the Arkansas transfer. And you know what? We haven't talked enough about Lenore Sellers.
Yes.
And I think part of it is we've been so caught up in a guy like DJ Lagway, and understandably so.
Yeah.
He's been very deserving of the attention that he's gotten. It's like Lenore Sellers has kind of flown under the radar this year.
Yeah.
He's a 2,100-yard passer. I didn't have that being the case for Lenore Sellers this season. But, yeah, a line of scrimmage kind of game. Both defensive fronts, as you outlined, feel like I think they can get the job done. And that's why it'll probably come down to a couple of turnovers. The quarterbacks that take care of the ball, Cade Klubnik having a good year for Clemson, 2,761 passing yards. And what these teams can get done in the passing game. Cause I think it's going to be tough to just line up and kind of own the line of scrimmage with these defensive fronts, but South Carolina with a huge opportunity, even if it isn't ultimately a CFP spot, you know, what it could do for itself in terms of that SEC bowl pecking order.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And listen, I wanted to mention too, Dabo mentioning this week, said he knows what percentage of the Tigers 20.5 million dollar revenue sharing is going to football. He didn't reveal it, but his quote was, "Ain't nobody going to have more money than Clemson." for the first time ever.
Sounds like Dabo's gotten on board with this whole money thing now.
Yeah. Now, Trav, I don't know if he's going to the portal.
No.
Any more than he was, but he certainly
he wasn't a big NIL guy either, as I recall.
No, he was not.
But good with the revenue sharing, I guess.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So good for the state of South Carolina and the spotlight that they're going to have on them. And by the way, Dabo also mentioned this week, guys, where's game day and all these ESPN people too? Maybe they should be around. So
good point. Little old Clemson.
Yes.
Dabo likes to go there with little old Clemson. Hey, it's big for South Carolina too in terms of, you know, donations and money. You got to capitalize on a season like this.
Sure you do.
If you're South Carolina. And it's not just this season because of Sellers and some of the pieces that are in there. You know, you can go to your whales and say, look, if you like these young players,
really,
we got to take care of these guys. So
that's right.
Pony up. We got a brass platoon here. We need everybody to throw 100K in to kind of keep this thing going. Because in a lot of years like this for South Carolina, you wonder, is it sustainable right into the next season? Mm-hmm. It looks right now like it could be sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah,
for Shane Beamer and his program. Hey, staying in that noon window on Saturday, Brent, you got the Tennessee Vols ranked 8th now in the college football playoff rankings. What a difference a week makes, right?
Really?
Vanderbilt coming off a 7-point road loss to LSU. I guess I'm left to wonder what Vanderbilt has left at this point. Although it was a loss last week, but it didn't feel like Vanderbilt wasn't competitive. Mm-hmm. They were. Yeah. Just not able to get over the hump on the road against an LSU team desperately in need of a win. I think for Tennessee, a couple things you like in this game. I don't think you feel like Vanderbilt offensively should be able to put you in an uncomfortable place on the offensive side. In other words, you shouldn't need Nico in the passing game to win the game for you. That being said, you know Vanderbilt's going to be keyed up on Dylan Sampson and trying to make it go that way with Nico in the passing game.
Yeah, I agree. And what I'm wondering is, what would Tennessee allow Vanderbilt to do what it does, which is, as we like to say, 3 and 4 yards you to death, and that equals a 15-play drive that takes about 7 minutes. I'm just curious – if James Pierce Jr. and that defensive line of Tennessee is going to be able to allow that, and can Vandy stop plenty of running from Dylan Sampson? Trav, please explain this to me. And I vote in some of these things, but this is just one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen. Dylan Sampson has been left off of some of the national running back awards. I have no absolute explanation how anybody who could follow the college football this year could leave Dylan Sampson off anything that involves running backs.
He's been great. A rushing touchdown in each of the previous 11 regular season games. Kind of like Travis Hunter of Colorado, right? I think he was left off
absolutely.
The finalist.
Yes.
For the Thorpe Award to the best DB. I know he's a two-way player, but if you can't watch that guy at corner and realize
really
he's probably the best defensive back in all of college football, you know, you could make an argument for that guy to win the Thorpe and the Biletnikoff.
And Travis, and maybe the Heisman.
And the Heisman, obviously. But yeah, you know, here's the thing about Vanderbilt. Tim Beck can be a problem, though, for a defense like Tennessee's. Because Tennessee likes to be aggressive on defense. They like to get after the football. They like to get up the field. And this offense, you know, they can cause some problems if they catch you maybe being a little too aggressive. So shovel passes, different things that they can do can be problematic. I still like Tennessee in the game. I think it's going to be tight, though, because Vanderbilt at home has been tough this season. Played Texas very competitively, beat Alabama, really South Carolina, as best I can remember, really the only team that just went into Nashville and took apart, or it felt like really took apart Vanderbilt. Maybe I'm missing a game, but I think it'll be tight. I think Tennessee will get it done. But Tim Beck and Vanderbilt and Diego, never count that guy out. We never do here on the program. In that 3:30 window on Saturday, you've got Arkansas traveling to 21st-ranked Missouri. That is a 3:30 Eastern kickoff on the SEC Network. Well, that's a tough spot for these two because you got the Iron Bowl on at 3:30 Eastern, and then you're kind of sandwiched in that spot on Saturday, but meaningful to both of these teams. We talked about it earlier in the week. Arkansas picked up its sixth win, bowl eligible under Sam Pittman, but to hear it from some of that fan base, they weren't as excited about that as maybe you would have thought. The sort of discrepancy between the excitement around a six-win Florida and the lack of it around a six-win Arkansas, I thought was kind of telling. But Missouri now trying to wrap up another successful season. I don't think there's any other way you can sort of describe it for Eli Drinkwitz if they get the win here and, you know, look at the potential, I guess, to maybe ultimately have double-digit wins, right? For a second straight season. Win Saturday, get to 9 wins, go to the bowl game. You win 10, won 11 last year. So kind of unprecedented for Missouri, at least in the SEC era. Although Pinkle, you know, back in the mid-teens,
he
had Missouri in the SEC championship game a couple times.
I'll tell you what, I don't know if people have really appreciated what Missouri has done offensively, starting with Brady Cook and the year that he's had. Hobbles onto the field, hobbles off the field, then he comes back hobbling on the field, but even banged up, like last week, 15 of 20 for 268. Nate Noel has done well, Marcus Carroll at running back, Theo Weiss has. I have a little bit of sadness, frankly, for losing Luther Burden. And I don't know if he'll be in a bowl game or not necessarily, but, and I hope people have appreciated this guy. I mean, Luther Burden's one of the true players right now in college football who frankly could play with Missouri on Saturday and go to the NFL on Sunday.
Yeah. He was a 5-star recruit. He really is. That definitely lived up to it.
No question. Absolutely. And certainly with the, and with the Hogs, a seventh win would be really, really good for them. Your point's a good one, Trav. Even if they were to win and have seven wins, and have a respectful 7-5 season, would the Hog fans be happy with that?
I think this is a kind of game though that can change the perception and the narrative a little bit. Go on the road and take care of business. I think you can rectify some of that. My biggest concern with Sam Pittman, I don't know if you saw the footage of him coming off the field against Louisiana Tech.
Yeah.
He just did not look well to me.
Yes.
I mean, it's a brutal profession. And as you get elevated in age, it becomes twice as hard.
It does.
And I just hope for him from a health perspective, if he's going to go on, if they're going to go on together, he's in a place where he's feeling capable of doing that because it didn't look good coming off the field against Louisiana Tech. I'm going to go with Missouri at home. Yeah. I trust Brady Cook you too much. I think Theo Weiss can step it up in that situation as a receiver. Another very competitive game is what I'm kind of anticipating, but I think it's also a fitting end for Brady Cook.
Yeah.
If he goes out like this, Brady Cook is going to sell a hell of a lot of car and home insurance. Probably. He'll be your State Farm guy.
He will.
And, he'll probably end up being the analyst, like on Missouri radio broadcast.
Yeah, great point. And yes.
It seems perfect. It seems like a path for Brady Cook down the road.
And Trav, will Brady Cook ever have to buy a beer in the state of Missouri?
No. He'll drink all the Budweiser in St. Louis that he wants at no charge. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Hey, staying in that 3:30 window, it is Iron Bowl 2024, Brent. Although the traditionals will tell you the Iron Bowl's been gone because the Iron Bowl was played in Birmingham. Mm-hmm. This home and home, this ain't Iron Bowl.
That's right.
You'll be told pretty quickly in the state of Alabama. But the Tigers and Tide will get together. Teams feeling a little bit differently about themselves after the last week or so. Certainly Auburn can speak to a winning streak under Hugh Freeze. That's not something we've said very often, winning two games in a row, beating ULM, and then the thrilling 4-overtime win over Texas A&M at Jordan-Hare last Saturday night. Meanwhile, for Alabama, is there any Lank still in that tank?
Yeah, right.
Because there are plenty of naysayers right now.
Yeah, there are.
Not just for this team, but for Jalen Milroe, the Lank founder, along with Terry and Arnold last year. So, hey, if Alabama's got any Lank left in that tank, might be a good time to get it out, Brent.
Yeah, it sure might be. And obviously, I think it had an effect on this team when Deontay Lawson went out. The tremendous linebacker, he's out for the year now, and just trying to get and Lawson kind of lined him up. Yeah. I'm sure that's been half the coaching this week. It just to try to replace that aspect of him. But again, even in the midst of this, as we mentioned earlier, and not to belabor the point, Alabama is arguably, if they beat Auburn and some things happen, could be back into the playoff race. But I think the thing they've got to look at here, again, Jalen Milroe has really struggled. I mean, since the loss to Vanderbilt, 55% completions, 4 passing touchdowns, 7 interceptions, 282 yards rushing. I mean, the numbers aren't there certainly as the Alabama fans would want them to be. Now, there is an aspect of this Auburn team that probably doesn't get enough attention. DJ Durkin, who was at Florida, now the DC at Auburn, is actually up for the Broyles Award. And people may not pay much attention to this. This Auburn defense is 24th in the nation in yards per game, 16th in yards per play, which is something we look at a lot, probably as much as anything else. But, Trev, this is only Auburn's 4th road game of the year. Seems like they've been home kind of like Tennessee most of the year at that point, too. So, obviously, big win, as we talked about, with Peyton Thorne. Can he repeat that? Jarquez Hunter. But it's going to be incredibly important for Alabama. If they want to win this game, Trav, don't they have to match at least the intensity of Auburn?
Well, they have to. And it's big for Kalen DeBoer, and I'll tell you why. Because if you don't win this one, you go to Auburn next year where you could lose 2 in a row.
Yeah, that's right.
And no head coach in Alabama.
No.
When you get it down to the base level of being the coach at Alabama. It's been way bigger than Auburn for a long time now for Alabama in terms of its goals and aspirations. Mm-hmm. But try losing a couple in a row.
Auburn.
And look, Nick even came close to that.
He did.
A couple of times. I mean, I go back to 2013, 2014.
Yes.
Lost on the kick 6. And then won a 55-44 game in Tuscaloosa, which I think was the last time these teams played at night.
Right.
Good point. That was a night game in 2014. Mm-hmm. I was in attendance. That was crazy that night at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Blake Sims, Amari Cooper
really
went off. But, boy, it's important for Kalen DeBoer to go ahead and get one of these.
Yep.
When you're at home, because you don't want to go to Auburn next year looking for your first one.
Absolutely not.
Even if you do have the better football team, as we've seen in this series in the past. Now, more so in Tuscaloosa, games haven't been that competitive. Alabama has dominated this series, not just in terms of wins, but margin of victory has been a lot wider than folks might expect. So it's a big one for Kalen DeBoer. Hey, Brent, we've got the show chat, by the way. So while we're talking Alabama, do you want to check the temperature or the fan base?
I'll bring absolutely.
Bring up a comment here. Here's Jonathan Franco, who says, Coach DeBoer needs to fire both coordinators. Had several woeful offensive and defensive performances and need a transfer quarterback. Do not expect Milroe back and work on culture and process. Mentally weak. So if you wanted a temp check of summon the Alabama fan base anyway, there you go. Yes. I think Jonathan kind of sums it up after that embarrassing performance. And it was. It was embarrassing. And you talk about Deontay Lawson and his importance, and there's no denying that. And it could be problematic this week because Hugh will have it dialed up. Hugh will have greatest hits.
Yes.
He'll have a greatest hits from Vandy and Oklahoma last week.
No question.
We talked about earlier in the week. Auburn has the pieces on offense and defense to give Alabama some of the same problems that Vandy did, that Oklahoma did last week. So you know it's all coming this week from Hugh. But a little more positive and welcoming tone from Deborah here in the show chat, who just simply offers up a good morning and a Roll Tide. But we always appreciate you folks chiming in the show chat. If you'd like to do that, certainly do that. If you haven't subscribed to the channel as of yet, we hope you'll go ahead and do that right now. Hit that subscribe button. There's a notification bell right there. If you hit that, you'll be alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And we always appreciate a thumbs up and a like as well. And with that, Brent, let's move into primetime Saturday night. Game that's taken on some more interest, I would say, after what Oklahoma did to Alabama in Norman last Saturday night. Now the Sooners look to add to that momentum and take on an LSU team that desperately needed to get off this night and was able to do that last week against Vanderbilt.
Did you see Kelly's comment this week, Trav, about he's hopeful that Garrett Nussmeier comes back next year?
Yeah.
I thought that was – and look – Nussmeier's offensive line is letting him down.
He just lost Bryce Underwood to Michigan.
Yeah. No wonder he is. Absolutely.
He's even more hopeful, I think, than Garrett Nussmeier, because I don't think AJ Swan is going to get you home.
No,
if that's what it comes down to.
No. Well, I think LSU will be much better defensively next year. Another year of Bo Davis and that defensive staff. I mean, the LSU beat writers told us at the beginning of the year they don't have the players they need yet. But look, this is – and obviously Oklahoma now being bowl eligible, it's huge for them. But this is your bowl pecking order in it, Trav, as much as anything else. This will be a fascinating game, and I agree. But when you think about it, with that LSU defense – could Oklahoma make some hay with them in that running game like they did against Alabama?
I was going to say, if you're Oklahoma, take the same game plan.
Yep.
Especially on offense. Going to be different because Nussmeier's not nearly the same challenge, or he's just a different challenge.
Yes.
Than Jalen Milroe is. But offensively, hell yeah. I'm running Jackson Arnold 20 more times this week.
No doubt.
Or 15 or 20 more. I'm running him just like Alabama did. Just like Texas A&M did against this LSU defense, and understanding, Arnold's not going to beat you for 70 with his legs, but he's a big enough guy, athletic enough guy that you make LSU show they can stop that.
Yes.
And especially since Oklahoma still, in terms of the passing game, that's what's as frustrating or has to be for Alabama fans as anything else. Oklahoma really didn't have anyone that could hurt Alabama in the passing game. And still ran for damn near 300 yards.
Yeah,
even though you should have gone into the game, even if you had to play 9-man box, and say, we're going to line up our corners, man. And if you beat them with those guys, you beat them. But, I think Blake Baker will be a little more in tune, maybe.
I think he will, too.
And so, but you're right in terms of a tiebreaker type of game for maybe Vegas or Texas or – Tampa or who knows, you know, where these teams could end up in the bowl pecking order, but it could have that type of effect for sure. Well, another one we didn't really see coming in prime time on Saturday, Florida being more than a, I guess, a 2-score favorite on the road. And Florida State, after being in a position exactly a year ago of in the college football playoff mix, Florida State is not even relevant now. No. I mean, this is an ESPN2 game in the middle of a lot of action on Saturday night in the SEC that's just going to get sort of washed over. But if you're a Florida fan, you're very excited because there is a renewed energy around this program that hasn't been there in a long time. And I think some Florida fans, including Pops, aren't ready to go all in. With Napier, they are all in with number two by center. So they're willing to work with that sort of package deal if two is able to stay healthy and produce.
First of all, with Florida State, Luke Cromenhawk is going to be starting. He's their freshman, which is a good idea.
Seems like that's been coming.
Florida State, right? No doubt about that. And they played a lot of younger players. Now I won't get in the weeds with this, but they are looking at coordinators after firing them. Mike Norvell is, possibilities, former Southern Miss offense coordinator, Chip Long, Brennan Marion from UNLV is a top target, I understand. Joe Craddock from Tulane for offensive coordinators, D coordinator Scott Simons, who is from SMU. All schools except for Southern Miss, who really made a difference this year and had a good year. But look, to your point with Florida, they have got maybe as much momentum right now as almost any school in the conference, including some of the schools in the playoffs. Unfortunately, Aaron Gates got hurt, their corner, in the Ole Miss game. But, boy, these younger guys, Jaden Bond, continue to play well. I mean, DJ Lagway, you know, the thing with Lagway is, Trav, the numbers aren't like 10 of 17 for 180. That doesn't knock you over, but there's no way that people can't say that he has elevated the play of everybody on that offensive side of the ball. A lot of explosive plays. Defensively, they've had 11 sacks in the last two games. And listen, their recruiting, Trav, has gone from in the 50s to now they're like, what, 18, 19, something like that.
And rising.
As
and that's a lot of Lagway. The quarterback dynamic cannot be overstated.
No.
Because if you have that guy, then you have probably the best thing of all. You have hope. You have hope week in and week out. You know you've got a chance week in and week out. The quarterback is kind of like the sun and provides the energy and the growth everywhere else in the program, even where the head coach is concerned. So yeah, I think with Lagway, that's the impact, not only offensively, but you know, what it's meant defensively. Hey, you're hearing Austin Armstrong now up for the Southern Miss head coaching job. These are the things that sort of are byproducts of that sort of success. And I think you could draw a lot of those lines right back to the true freshman quarterback in DJ Lagway. I'll say this too. Rob Sale deserves some credit because offensive line and that run game has come a ways with Rob Sale. And he's been a favorite target, I think, of Florida fans. And so, look, justifiably so, I think, in some instances. But you got to give some people some credit now that I don't think a lot of Florida fans 2 months ago thought they were going to have to circle back. Really. And again, begrudgingly, there is still a lot of folks in that fan base that are, Billy can hang around for now.
Yes. That's basically what I'm hearing too. But look, for them to be in a bowl game and they win this game, you may go up in the pecking order. Yep. I tell you what, Trav, tell me what bowl official in one of those bright colored blazers wouldn't like to have Florida right now?
Well, there's a bowl called the Gator Bowl.
Yes.
Love to have the Gators right now, especially if they're able to get a win over rival Florida State on Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, ESPN2. And then the crescendo Saturday night, Brent. The Texas Longhorns, for the first time in a long time, make that trip to College Station, take on the 20th-ranked Aggies. Aggies coming off that demoralizing 4-overtime loss at the hands of the Auburn Tigers. What do we know about Texas and specifically Quinn Ewers at this point in the week? Because there was a lot of concern with him coming out of that win over Kentucky.
Yeah, mild ankle sprain and should be good to go is one of the latest things that we've heard.
But if he's immobile against that A&M scheme, I mean, Mike Elko will come get him.
He sure will.
Sark better have the beaters ready to go.
Yeah, no question about that. Yeah, because that Nick Skirton and that defensive line with A&M will certainly be. Now, Trev, we have a lot of fun with this, but it really does bear repeating. The ticket man. Oh, tell me about that ticket man and how excited is he about this kickoff coming up on Saturday night.
Yeah, the College Station ticket man's a lot more excited than is the Tuscaloosa ticket man.
Yeah, no doubt.
I think. But even with the loss at Auburn, I mean, this is history.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you're rejoining this rivalry. So just from that perspective, even if these teams were 7-4, 6-5, there would be incredible interest. But when you start putting an SEC championship play-in game on top of everything else, absolutely. And look, A&M's a different team, I think, at Kyle Field. You know, haven't been as good on the road. Lost at South Carolina, lost at dropped a game at Auburn last weekend, but they've also been kind of slow starters, it seems like, on the offensive side. So you know, that could play into Texas's hands because Sark, you're still gonna have to survive that script with him. Balance for Texas will be interesting. Can they really sustain that with Wisner and the run game? You know, Sark can cover for some of that by throwing it to his backs and a guy like Gunnar Helm at the tight end position. As we continue to see, everybody talks about Isaiah Bond. Everybody talks about these different guys at the skill positions, but the guy that you better have a plan for, especially in the red zone, is tight end Gunnar Helm.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Very, very dangerous. He has great hands and that's a guy you can depend on. Traveling in a game like this, a guy like him could bail them out 5 or 6 times.
He could. And the thing we still don't talk about enough is his Texas defense.
Yes.
And they could make it really tough. And they're going to need to be good because Marcel Reed, it can be up and down at times, but you know, look, if you're Texas, you'd much rather have to defend Connor Wiegman and kind of know where he's going to be. I think the challenge is actually tougher for Texas this week defensively because Reed and his ability to run the football and make you account for the extra blocker. You're not going to have to worry about that if you're A&M. You know where Quinn's going to be. Maybe there's something for Arch in the game plan this week. If you need some mobility or some, you know, red zone help with the quarterback runs. But, you know what this game kind of feels like? And I'm an old head, and you are too.
Yep.
This game kind of feels like 1989 Alabama-Auburn.
Yes.
When Alabama went down to Jordan-Hare in 89. And we know what happened. It was kind of a pit, kind of a setup for Alabama in that game. I think it may be the same for Texas. I think A&M, everybody's talking about, well, the losses and out of the college football playoff maybe. I just think it's going to be a different deal down there Saturday night. I had the feeling about A&M in this game that I had about some of those underdogs at home last week, and one of those falling victim to that was Texas A&M.
Yes. Well, and I'll tell you about that, and you remember this about that game. Trev, the reality is Bama cannot block Auburn in that 89 game.
I don't think Texas's offensive line is that great.
Yeah,
I know Banks and their tackles get love, but I think A&M, though, can stay in this game with its defense.
Yeah, and listen, let me throw this at you. A&M is 20 in the college football rankings. Now, Texas is 3.
Right.
Now, if you're A&M, Trav, and you beat Texas, who is 3, I mean, how far would that committee put A&M up these rankings, I wonder?
Should move them up pretty good. I mean, they're still a 3-loss team. And they had the home loss to Notre Dame, obviously, to start the season. But they look to be a different team at this point. Little Joe C checking in this morning. Good morning, guys. Good morning, Little Joe C. always good to hear from you. And, Brent, that is a – I've talked myself into the A&M pick right here on the program.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Real time, I've talked myself into A&M Saturday night.
They have that noise meter at LSU. Can you imagine? Now, you've been there at A&M. Can you imagine the noise in that game as badly as they hate Texas?
They're big singers and chanters, you know,
with the
fan thing, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, it'll be as loud for as long as Texas lets it probably be loud.
Yeah. Yes.
We'll see if the Longhorns are able to do that. Little Joe C checking in here. I don't see how you remember specific games like you do, Travis. You are very sharp. Yeah, but then my wife, Little Joe C, will send me to the grocery store to pick up like 4 things.
Yeah, right.
And I'll always forget at least one.
I know.
Very memory specific. I don't know why. It's a
And Trav, let me throw this at a little something extra here. When you're looking at the ratings, you've got Notre Dame and a very underachieving SEC Southern Cal.
I like SC in that game. So
yes.
You want to talk about craziness.
I do.
I think SC and LA is a team to watch. Made the quarterback change.
Yep.
I'm going SC there against the Irish.
And Trev, do you totally trust that Miami Hurricane team going to Syracuse in the dome?
No, I don't trust him. But I trust Cam Ward that if it comes down to a play or two, he's probably going to be the guy that makes them.
Right.
So, absolutely. We went in again to last weekend kind of wondering about some of these road favorites in the SEC. Well, kind of wondering about some other teams elsewhere.
Yeah.
We'll see how that sort of plays out. Brent, anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah. And North Carolina is looking for a coach, Mac Brown.
That was wild.
It really was. Wasn't
Mac,
it?
Mac pretty much was like, don't worry, I'm coming back. And no, you're not.
Yeah. Now, what's going to be interesting. Now, a couple things here that our viewers and listeners may not know is, people can say, well, North Carolina, so what? Well, I tell you, so what? When the SEC expands, Travis and I have talked about this, one of the teams that's on their radar, they're not going to say a whole lot about this right now, and I understand it, is North Carolina.
Yeah.
North Carolina, certainly, as Travis knows, is a, known for their basketball.
Yeah.
But
we'd love to get probably North Carolina and Duke together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. They're brands. I mean, whatever you think about college basketball specifically, those are brands. Duke and Carolina are brands, significant brands, and also from the academic perspective.
And listen, those presidents and chancellors who make the decisions,
even though the curtain has been pulled back on college athletics, the chancellors and presidents still like to keep this facade going.
They're in control. Trav, I'd be remiss. Absolute street fight last night between Alabama and Houston. In the Las Vegas tournament. And Trav, heard a little bit this morning, and probably some of our texters may say the same thing, wondering if that Bama basketball team is tougher than the football team.
Well, they were last night.
They were, weren't they?
They were in a bad spot. And, LJ Cryer for Houston was just tough, but Alabama got it done in overtime. Once they got that thing to overtime, it felt like they would be in pretty good shape because Houston fouls a lot The game was also called in a way, I think, that was beneficial to Alabama.
Yeah.
Because Houston is just going to push and be physical. But they did. They hung in there. Little Joe C wants to ask us one thing before we get out of here. He's a Bama fan.
Mm-hmm.
Brent, he says, do you think Alabama will go with a quarterback change if things go bad for Alabama? I guess he's thinking maybe end game this week with Jalen Milroe and maybe Ty Simpson.
Well, I've thought for several games, including the Tennessee game, and I'm not talking about benching Milroe, but like some teams have done this year, is to pull your starter out for a couple of series. One thing I learned from you years ago is sometimes if you pull a guy off and let him look at what's going on and the speed of the game slows down a little bit and he sees one way or another how things are going, it might help. So yeah. I'm just throwing it out there. Do you think that might, if they took him out a series or two, and look, even if Ty Simpson let him down and got a field goal, trail, that can make a little bit of a difference.
Yeah, I thought last week after the ineffective, we'll say, tackle attempt on the six, I think as much as anything for your team, you probably needed to put somebody else in there for a series. So,
yes,
you know, that was an indictment of Jalen there, I thought.
Yeah, and I agree.
It's tough, though, because now you're at a deficit where if he really is your best guy, which you obviously think he is, you don't really have a series to play with. Okay. Yeah. I mean, if Ty goes out there and you three and out it, that was a possession.
Sure.
You effectively threw by the boards.
Right.
To kind of make a statement in game. Mm-hmm. So, but I also think it's the kind of thing that goes into your file as a player.
Yes.
So let's say things aren't going well against Auburn this week and your body language or your effort in some situations isn't what it needs to be. That's when I could see.
Yeah, absolutely.
As an extension of what we saw last week, it becoming an issue for Jalen in terms of going wire to wire, perhaps Saturday or perhaps for the remainder of this season. He's still the guy. I don't have really any doubt about that where the coaching staff is concerned. But best believe you have a file, whether real or sort of invisible, that they keep about your makeup and things like that when situations like that arise. Well, Brent, as always, a lot of fun. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. You know, we're in the Ryer on YouTube studio right now, but just off the studio, I can literally smell Thanksgiving.
Oh,
I can smell cranberry in there. I can smell cast iron skillet cornbread. I can smell it, Brent.
Oh, me. And Trev, like our friend, the late great Greg Larson would say, get in that kitchen and rattle some pots and pans, right?
Yeah, me too. Me too. I've been in there this morning rattling a few myself.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Every time I turn on the radio in Duval County, I miss Greg Larson even more, but
Yep.
It ought to be a great holiday. We certainly hope you and yours out there, if you're traveling, be safe. It's going to be crazy the next couple of days on the roadways and in airports. So take your time, give yourself plenty of time, and make some great memories, man.
Absolutely.
Definitely do that here over the course of the holidays and really every day. But Brent, with that, best wishes to you and yours, and we'll catch up again here real soon on YouTube.
Travel, we'll look forward to that. Happy Thanksgiving all. And folks, don't forget on Thanksgiving Day at 7:30 Eastern time is Memphis at Tulane. That's
a game for Tulane. Yeah,
absolutely. And Tulane in the college football rankings. And look, Summerall, their coach, who was at Troy, Travel, they're as we say goodbye here, there are a lot of people looking at him.
Yeah, he seems to be a riser. He was previously an assistant coach at Kentucky. It seems to be climbing those ranks pretty nicely, it looks like. But for Brent Beard, Travis Schreier, thanking you once again for joining us right here for Second Helping. Boy, there's going to be some Second Helpings coming in the next few days. And it's Ryer on YouTube. As always, we appreciate you checking in with us. And until next time, so long, everybody.